We all recognize that passage, of course, from John 15. We hear it often. And it's selected today for the Feast of St. Francis de Sales, who worked so hard to love everybody, even those who were very much opposed to him. This is just as you remember, the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. And he was the Bishop of Geneva, which was Calvin's hometown, just at the time of this upheaval in the church, which is not healed yet, which has made the church so much weaker and so much less able to preach the gospel and let the name of Jesus be known. Now, as we were listening to the psalm, a line of the psalm struck me a lot, and I thought it would be a good way to begin to meditate on our Lord's words. The line that came to me, "The mouth of the just man," our translation is, "tells of wisdom, and his tongue utters what is right. The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not falter." This just man is Jesus. He is, in the Bible we would be called the tzedek. He's the righteous, just man. And he mulls over, meditates wisdom. Now it's the mouth that the text talks about. See, out of the mouth comes the character of a person. In one of the Psalms, Psalm 32, it starts off, you know, "Blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven, you know, whose rebellion has been pardoned, whose transgression has been covered over." And then the last of these four things that make them blessed then is, "And in whose mouth there is no guile." Now the first three are obviously having to do with the forgiveness of sins. What about the fourth? "In his mouth there is no guile." That's the result of the forgiveness of sins. Now, of course, our Lord didn't have to go through that. But if you read the Psalm, Psalm 32, you'll see that after a while the psalmist is talking to God, and he says, "You know, your hand laid upon me, it was heavy, I was sick, I was having a difficult time, then finally I confessed my sins to you. And then I was free." That's when you have no guile. When you are standing in total truth before the Father, which is a gift. And it's a sign that the other three things have already happened. That you've been forgiven your sins, your transgressions covered over, and so forth. And now, you don't have to be a liar anymore. You can be truthful. Because you know in the depth of your heart that you're forgiven. And so, see, the mouth of the just man, this tzedek, you see, is the one that mulls over wisdom, the most precious gift that we can have is wisdom. It means to understand who God is. Now that understanding is an understanding that enters our being by the work of the Holy Spirit and impresses itself on our spirit. It's not just an appreciation that God is so smart and he made the universe so it functions well and so forth, which is good. But you see, wisdom is knowing God. And to know God, it means to recognize him and to honor him. The word in English that is closest to this wouldn't be the word recognize, you see. It means I see somebody coming down the street and I say, "That's Joe," because I know Joe and I recognize him. But in the same way, in Hebrew, if a policeman stops me, I'm going 90 miles an hour in a 30 mile zone, and he stops me, I say, "Officer, I recognize your authority." But to know God is to honor his authority and to obey him. And so this is what we have, which we're going to look at in just a second, what our Lord is talking about. But this is wisdom. Now what is the way to wisdom? Obedience. Obedience. In this very chapter that we have today, actually it's the chapter before this one, or after that, we have this lovely line where our Lord Jesus says, "One who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And my Father will love him. And I will love him. And I will show myself to him." The last step is wisdom. I will show myself to him. So he traces out for us the way to wisdom. Keep the commandments. Which ones? Well, you can start with the basics. Don't kill, don't murder, don't commit adultery. But ultimately, it's those commandments that the Lord gives us in the depth of our heart, and we obey them. Because you see, we are all at point A. And we're supposed to be at point A, wisdom. But we don't even know where point B is. So how do we get there? Obey. Obey the Lord. And he will get us from point A to point B. And then we will know him. Know him. In the very depth of our being, we will know him and we will rejoice in him. St. Augustine was the first one to recognize this. Well, not the first one. The first one articulated it this way. You see, when that wisdom is born in us, as he says, a word proceeds in our own spirit, because the Trinity lives in us. And this word proceeds within us. It's not just any word. It's a word breathing forth love. Now that's wisdom. And the way to wisdom, you see, is obedience. A loving, trusting obedience. And therefore, a search for the face of the Lord. Tell me what you want, Lord. Just tell me. Reveal your face to me. Let me have the honor of obeying you. In big things and in small. And he can guide us to that place where, as he promises, I will show myself to you. That's wisdom. Because then we know the wisdom of God. And that word, that wisdom of God, proceeds in our heart. Not just any word, but a word breathing forth love. Now the psalm, in a very discreet way, is telling us about this. You see, the mouth of the righteous one, the mouth of the tzaddik, of the just one, meditates, like this number Psalm 1, blessed is the man, blessed is this man, who doesn't walk, doesn't listen to the counsel of the wicked, or walk in the way of the unjust, or sit in the company of the mockers, but meditates the law of the Lord day and night. Now the word for meditation there is hagud, and it means to murmur like a dove, to have the word of God so dear to us that we meditate, we mull it over, we talk about it to ourselves. You see, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. And it's so sweet and so dear to us. That's Jesus. There is one righteous one among us, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But in his human heart, he meditated the law, the Torah, day and night. And that's wisdom. If we obey his commandments, then he shows himself to us by bringing us into that rhythm of his own heart, to this day, the rhythm of his own heart. And we know him. And we know the Father. And that's wisdom. Now, that underlies, if you will, sort of the theology of what our Lord tells us in the Gospel, where he starts off saying, "As the Father loves me, I love you." Because you ever go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, how much do you love me?" He'd say, "I love you as much as my Father loves me." That is, I love you divinely. Divinely. And I invite you to live in the rhythm of our life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all eternity. That's what it means to meditate wisdom. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that. But you see, that's what he's saying. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. What do you know? The same thing we just heard going the other way, right? Obey Jesus. Well, our Lord talks to us, gives us direction, let's say maybe 200 times a day. We pick up maybe 40 of them, and we obey about 10 of them. Now, he'd like to see a little upgrade on that, because he loves us. This is not like, I'm a professor, this is not like an exam, you pass your flock. This is the way to the manifestation of Jesus. I will show myself to this one. You see, I want to teach you how to be so intimate with me that you really know me. You know, somebody comes up to me, I have a sister, she lives up in Syracuse. Somebody comes up to me and says, I know your sister. And they start talking. How long would it take me to figure out whether they really know her or not? 10 seconds? You see what I mean? Somebody says, I know Jesus. How long does it take to figure out whether they do or not? 10 seconds. Is their heart soft? Is there joy? Is there obedience? Is there humility? Well, then they know. And all that the Lord will do for us, you see? And that's what he goes on to say. If you keep my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And there again, you have the just man. The one, you see, who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night, that is on the Torah by his Father. I always do what pleases him. In fact, in chapter 5, he's arguing with his opponents, and he says, in effect, I don't move a muscle unless I see the Father doing it. You see that kind of intimacy, that kind of love? You say, I'll never get there. And he says, oh, yes, you will. I just told you how. Obey me, and I'll bring you there. My Father will love you. I will love you. And I will show myself to you. You know, I tell my students when we're doing the tract on the resurrection, Jesus is not a UFO. You've got to catch sight of him, see? No. We know Jesus because he reveals himself to us. We can't track him. You know, people into New Age, you cut your carrots at 45-degree angle, and you breathe deep, and you'll, boop, I'll come a mystical experience. No way. You want to have a mystical experience? Obey Jesus. Well, what's he telling you? Take 3 minutes, and he'll start to tell you. Get reconciled with so-and-so. You've been mad at them for a year. Stop it. You know, real simple, basic stuff that makes our life and our heart like his. Now, why is he doing all this? And this brings down now the whole motive of why he came among us. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy will be complete. If the joy of Jesus fills our heart, what is the joy of Jesus? The Father. The Father. It's a joy for him to obey the Father, even when, as he told a friend of mine, at the agony of the garden, I was filled with revulsion. But yet, in the deep part of his spirit, he was full of joy to be obeying the Father. I may never forget that, you see. So then, okay, we're ready, Jesus. Okay, what do you want us to do? This is my commandment. Love one another. As I love you. Well, that's pretty simple. Well, it is. It's not easy, but it's simple. And as we're going off to sleep at night, well, how did I do today? Did I love? What were my judgments like? What were my inner movements like? What was my attitude like? You know, I remember in Ogoni 100 years ago when I was doing theology, and we were reading, I was lucky enough to do it all at St. Thomas. and he's talking about affability. And we're doing a treatise on justice. And he says, affability is a part of justice. Others have a right to our affability no matter how we feel. I'm not doing them a favor when I'm smiling at them. I'm giving them their due. That made a big impression on me. You know, I'm not just out of the abundance of my goodwill being nice to people. I'm only giving them their rights. It's a part of justice. Isn't there sin a new light on that? You see, love each other. Now, there's no greater love than this. I'm going to show you what this really means. It means laying down your life as I lay down my life for you. You're my friends if you do what I command you. You see how this all ties together, the mouth of the just man, meditating wisdom. You see, the mouth of this just man giving us this wisdom, which turns out to be himself, so that we know the Lord. At a point like this, you say, you can tell the Lord, look, Jesus, I'll trade you any sin I've got if I can just know you better. Just tell me and I'll work at it, let's get rid of it, so I can know you better. And he knows exactly, you know, he says that one. No, what about this one? No, that one. Start working on that in the power of my Holy Spirit. You see, why? Because you're my friends if you do what I command you. That means I don't call you slaves anymore. Because the slave doesn't know what his master's doing. And now look what he promises. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. Who receives the fullness of that kind of a promise? Padre Pio, Mother Teresa, you and I, if we wanted. You see, we're having in here this discourse on the beloved disciple, right? And the text 14:21, what I just quoted, you see, I will love him. My Father will love him. I will love him. And I will show myself to him. Who's that? That's the beloved disciple, isn't it? Well, who's the beloved disciple? It's you, if you want it. You see this intimacy that comes from this. Our Lord had meditated this in his heart, and he shared it with us. Huh? And then, remember, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I went out and looked for you. I called you. Just think about it. Here we are, I don't know, 40 people in this chapel. And we all have a right to be here. No way. It's a pure gift. We aren't even right enough to know we belong here. This is a pure gift. See, I chose you. I called you here this afternoon. And now, you see, to go out and bear fruit. Tell the next person in the grocery store about Jesus. Bear some fruit. It's time now, we're entering a new era, even in the history of the country. We've got to learn to preach the gospel. Now, when you hear that phrase, preach the gospel, usually you think of yourself standing in the middle of a town square proclaiming Jesus. Well, Paul did that. That's a good way to do it, but there's another way as well. We can do both. Let's say, for this person, God has a plan. It's going to take 150 nudges to bring this person to faith. And you might be number 116. You just do your duty, and the Lord will use it sooner or later. So you're in the grocery line, and you say, my God, with this financial problem, I don't have money to pay these groceries. The other person's going to say, yeah, you're right. What else are we going to say? You know? And then you say, but I'm praying about this. You know, pray about it. I think we'll get through. You've done number 116. You've done all you gotta do. That takes guts. You're darn right it does in this culture. But that's what we're after, isn't it? To obey the Lord. Because what does he end up saying? Two things. Whatever you ask of the Father, in my name, I'll do it. And secondly, this is what I command you. And for the third time in this little passage, love each other. Now, all of this is in honor of St. Francis de Sales, who did a very good job of this. the temperament, he was a very choleric man. He was not a nice, mild-mannered little fellow. He had to wrestle with his anger a lot. But he was faced with enemies and opponents. And the Lord said to him, Francis, listen. Either you die to yourself and love them, or you're a flop. And he was smart enough to take the first option. That's who we honor today. And we honor him by doing the same. Learning. As this mass goes on, the Lord will talk to us. He talks to us all the time. We're not smart enough to pick it up. We will be. Just listen. And say, Lord, I'm ready, by golly. I want to be your disciple. I'll do what you command. What do you want? And he'll tell you. And he'll say, oh, no, not that. He's not going to say, go out and get martyred. He's going to say, you know that person you're at enmity with? Go get reconciled. You know that nice little habit you have of judging everybody and condemning them in your heart? Cut it out. And little by little, the joy that he promises us, his own joy, will be ours.